Y'all doing good? Awesome. Awesome. I know some people are wrapping up prayer here. There's nothing like having prayer, having worship, having us all being together. When I say there's literally no place I'd rather be than right here with you all worshiping God and praising His name, I mean it. And if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here. And I say that every single week. There's literally no place I'd rather be than right here with you all, worshiping God and praising His name. Some people are tired of hearing me say that, but I will not stop saying it until I go home to be with Jesus. So get used to it. And today we get to continue our series entitled Fresh Start. And today is an exciting one because it's right in my wheelhouse. Here's why. It's so simple. And I used to get yelled at a lot by people because I would say that I'm a simple man. And they said, "You're saying you're stupid." And I said, "No, I'm not saying I'm stupid. I just like things simple." And when we look at today's teaching, we can think like, oh, this is just really elementary stuff. This is just super elementary. And it is. But sometimes we can just look past the elementary things and forget them because we think we have them and we don't. So today is a simple message. Not stupid, simple, because I like things simple. So I have a question for you, and I like questions, and I forgot that I haven't explained this in a while during the first worship experience, so I'll explain it to you. If I ask a question, I like answers. So that means if I ask you something, I expect an answer. Do you understand? Not all of you understood. So if I ask a question, I like answers. Do you understand?
Yes.
Thank you, Phil. Phil used like nonverbal, and he, it's still like this thing within him. He can't do it. I'm trying to break it. I'm going to break Phil. It's one of these things. Okay. So if I said, now I want to be clear. This is like Daniel Tiger stuff. We're imagining, because I don't have this, but if I said, "I'm going to give you $10 million, would you accept it?"
Yes.
Okay. Now, if I said that I would give you $10 million, but there were some stipulations, would you still accept it?
Yes.
Okay.
Wait, what's the stipulation?
Exactly. Now we have some wisdom flowing now. What are the stipulations? Okay. Here's the stipulations. Tomorrow, you wake up, you have $10 million, but you can't give it away. You could only use it for yourself, and you can't use it in a way that benefits anybody else. Just you. One person. It can't benefit anyone else in any way possible at all. So how many people are taking the $10
million? Don't lie.
Don't lie. Tell the truth. I'm buying an island. Right? Yeah. See ya. I know there's some people, you just didn't want to tell the truth and shame the devil. Okay? There's some people who are like, "Yeah, I'm out." Okay, and that's fine. But listen, here's the thing. You can always make more money. The thing we're talking about today is not money. We're talking about time. We're talking about having a fresh start with your time. You can always make more money. You can always earn a new skill, learn a new skill, do something more. You cannot make more time. Your days are numbered. You only have a certain amount of time during the day. you only have a certain amount of days during the year. And you don't know how many of them you have. You don't know if you have tomorrow. I don't know if I have tomorrow. But one thing we do know, there is no more time being given to us. There's 24 hours in a day, 365 days in a year, except in a leap year, which I don't understand. But there is an extra day. But the hours are the same today as they will be tomorrow, as they were yesterday. You're not getting more time. But we all think about money every single day. How do we spend our money? Do we have enough money? Am I going to make more money? But we don't think about our time. Are we using our time wisely? Are we, I don't know why I brought these up here again. Oh, I was praying for people. I did that for you all. The mints were for you all. It wasn't for me. It's like, why did I have these? Let's turn to Romans 12, 1 through 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn how to know God's will for you, in which is good and pleasing and perfect. Listen, a fresh start with our time is one that pursues your God-given purpose. It's something that we have to be purposeful with. When we pursue our God-given purpose in our life, our fresh start with our time is something that practices intentional living. When we practice intentional living in our life, we see that our time is starting to be more purposefully spent. It's going to pop up behind me, these 3 points. The last thing we're going to talk about today is how to prioritize God daily. How do we make sure that we are putting our priorities in order? You know, this fresh start with our time is all about knowing what truly matters most in our life. When we know what matters most in our life, we can start to put those 3 things that I just mentioned fully in order. There's a lot of things trying to rob us of what matters in our life. Every single day, there's something that's trying to rob us. This matters, or that matters, or this matters more. It doesn't. There's this tension in our life that's always there, and we can manage that tension. You know, I have to catch myself sometimes whenever I'm saying I'm tired. Or I have to caution myself because there's a statement that I dislike more than, there's a lot of statements I dislike, but this one's one of the tops on my list. I'm burnt out. I do not like the statement I'm burnt out because I think that if we get there, it's because there's a reason. We allowed ourselves to get to a place of burnout because we weren't spending time with the one who gives us fire in the first place. And we think burnout was just the result of something else. No, burnout was a sign of we weren't spending time with the one who gives us fire. We were spending time with stuff that stifles the fire. But I have to caution myself as well. I'm tired. I'm burnt out. I need a break. 9 times out of 10, It's not because of stuff that's happening in my life. It's because of stuff that I'm doing, and I'm living in this tension that I shouldn't be living in. And we need to cut something out. Listen, I've been through a lot of pain in my life. I've almost broken every bone in my body. I can list them. There's just a few that I haven't broken. I'll list them: my femur, my back, my neck. Those are just the big ones that I haven't broken. I've broken a whole bunch of others. I was a fun kid to raise. It was fun. Expensive and fun. I was an orthopedic marvel, some would say. And I do not accept what those doctors said, that I would be an arthritic mess as an adult. Not true. I don't have a sign of arthritis. Here, I'm telling you this because I want to bring this tension point home. All of those things, one of the worst pains I ever experienced in my life was plantar fasciitis. How many plantar fasciitisers do I have? There's some young people in here like, yeah, here we go, this old guy. Now, young people get it too. It's whenever your heel and the front of your foot, there's this tendon that the runners get it, athletes get it. It's just, there's too much tension. And it is so tight that it needs stretched or it needs cut. Because the back of your heel and the front of your foot is too tight. One of the best ways to relieve it is to take a frozen water bottle and just push it on the bottom of your foot. Or to hang your foot on the front of a step and just drop your heel down. And you're just stretching. This tension is so representative of our life. We have these things that are pulling us. The world, church, the kingdom, the world. Like all of these things are pulling us. And there's this tension that we're living in. And we're not supposed to have this tension. And it just needs cut. But it's exhausting. And we're not supposed to be that tired. We're not supposed to be burnt out on these things. We're not supposed to do that. And it's not going to pay off for our future unless we cut the tension. We need to have the plantar fasciitis surgery. I know a lot of people that have had it. I didn't need to have it. But once they had it, they're like, I should have had this way sooner. I was like in my 20s when I had it. We were walking through the mall and Rachel almost left me like in the mall. She's like, what is wrong with you? You can't even make it. There's old people doing laps in the mall. Like the mall walkers that hang their coats on the railing. They were lapping me. I was like, not in Century 3, it was Monroeville. But we got to cut the tension. Here we go. Ephesians 5, 15 through 16. Look carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Paul talks about our walk, meaning that this is how we're supposed to live our lives. How are you living your life? How are you walking through your day-to-day life? How are you conducting your days? Are you doing them in a way that is honoring your time that you've been given, or are you just wasting it? Paul emphasizes what matters most to a believer in Christ should be to walk in wisdom and to live wisely. Don't be stupid and walk in wisdom. That's what should be most important. It's very clear. It's quite simple. Make the best use of your time. How do we make the best use of our time? Oh, it's just another day. Oh, I'm waking up. Just going to make it through. Sun's coming up. Sun's going to go down. Waking up, going to sleep. Repeat it again. Our days are numbered. Our money is something that we look at on a daily basis. But do we look at our time? Do you even have a calendar? Not like you have one, like, it's cool, I have one, I hang it up on my fridge. No, do you keep a calendar? And if I look at your calendar, is it telling me that you're handling your time with wisdom? And you're walking out your life with wisdom and honoring God? Are you intentional with your calendar? Are you planning things for your future? Listen, if you don't write it down, it doesn't happen. If you don't plan it, it doesn't happen. Wisdom is actually writing something down and doing it. I'm not a list person. I am not. I don't like lists. I think lists sometimes make things less fun. But I have list people in my life. My wife is a list person. Our campus admin is a list person. She's one of the best list people. I meet with her every Monday after our staff meeting. She makes lists. Thank God for lists. We wouldn't be able to function if we didn't have list people. Thank you, Sarah, for lists. Thank God. Yeah, great. Her lists give me heart palpitations because she doesn't write on the lines of her paper. Like, it's like a list over here, list over here, list over here, scribble, scribble, list, list, list. I have OCD, so I like lines if you do lists, neat bullet points. If I'm going to do a list, it's going to be nice and orderly, not like... But hey, it makes sense, it gets done, it's good. But be purposeful for yourself, for your family, for your future, for your friends. Write it down. I want to do this. Schedule it. I want to do this. Schedule it. Be purposeful. And then if you don't do it, you have nobody to blame but yourself. But if it's not written down, you have everybody to blame. It's really easy to point fingers then. God, you didn't do this. So-and-so, you didn't do this. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's everybody's fault but yourself. I'm the pastor of this campus of Bridge City Church, and church is on my calendar until the end of time. But guess what? Church was on my calendar before I even had a twinkle in my eye that I was going to be the pastor of this campus of Bridge City Church. Why? Because Rachel and I made it a priority in our lives that church mattered. So much so that it is always going to be on our calendar. Church is on our calendar. Forever. It is on our family's calendar. It is on our calendar. And we set that as a priority in our life. It doesn't change. The only thing it does change is sometimes it gets moved to Saturday night too when we have a Saturday night worship experience. But Sunday is set. What else is on the calendar? Is your devotion time on your calendar? Do you put your work schedule on your calendar or you just forget it? Do you put your time spent serving on your calendar? I'm going to go outside of myself and outside of my family, and I'm going to serve on this day or this day or this day. Is that scheduled? Here we go. I'm going to go outside of my normal devotion time, and I'm going to schedule, I'm going to go into a deeper study. I'm going to study, what does it mean to walk by faith? I'm going to study that. Or I'm going to study the church. The early church. I'm going to put a study time on my calendar. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to study. Here we go. Do you schedule dinner with your family? I'm going to schedule to have dinner with my family. We're going to sit at the table and we're going to eat dinner. Or does dinner just happen? I know we're going to eat. What's the bedtime routine? Listen, Rachel and I used to have a bedtime routine with Lennon, but ever since I had an infection, I had 24-hour IVs, Lennon's bedtime routine went completely out the window. It was gone. Whenever he realized that mom and dad don't go to bed early, that was it. His extrovert went completely to the roof, and I'll never forget, he caught that we were up at 2 a.m. doing one of my IV infusions when I had an infection. He came walking down the steps. He's like, I want to make a pizza. And we were like, this is our child. We're going to make a pizza. And that was it. We knew. It was gone. Do you schedule true rest in your life? Like, schedule a Sabbath. I am going to schedule rest. Fridays are my day. I unplug. I protect them. Fridays are my day. Now, recently, Fridays have been filled with something else, but I love that too. It's been really fulfilling for me. I love it. It's been filling me up. I've been learning a new trade with a friend. I love it. It's been really fulfilling for me. I've enjoyed it. But Fridays are family day. Here's another thing. Are you scheduling to serve your community? Pittsburgh mission trip's coming up. June 27th through 28th. Well, I don't know what we're doing. I'm going to tell you everything you need to know about the Pittsburgh mission trip. You ready? Write it down. If we got list takers, you write it down. It's going to be really a whole lot of information. We're going to serve the community outside these walls on June 27th through 28th. There we go. That's all the details. We're going to do anything and everything God has called us to do. We're going to serve at the Pittsburgh Dream Center. We're going to deliver groceries. We're going to cut grass. We're going to paint houses. We're going to minister to people that come to their door when we knock on the door to ask them if they need anything. We're probably going to get called to go to the groceries. Like, we're going to do whatever the community needs in those 36 hours. We're also going to have some teaching about how to share the gospel. We're going to have some teaching about what it means to live on mission. The goal of the Pittsburgh mission trip is not to get you to go and be on mission for 36 hours. It's to get you to live on mission the rest of your life. You're on a mission field every single day of your life. You don't believe me? Go to Walmart. Go to Giant Eagle. Go to Trader Joe. Trader Joe's is like, Whole Foods is the biggest mission. A lot of those people are cranky because they need protein. I'm serious. Serious. You ever drank almond milk? How do you milk an almond? They're the driest things in the world. Seriously, they need Jesus. They're just cranky. I'm kidding. Almond milk's really good. I needed to drive the joke home. Galatians 2, verse 20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen, we're not to get caught up in this busy trap. We're to get caught up in the fact that we have a blessing to walk out here on earth. The enemy wants us to get caught in a trap. I'm too busy to do this. I'm too busy to do this. I don't have time to do this. I don't have time to do that. If you've been around me for any amount of time, when they call me, hey, I'm sorry to bother you. I know you're too busy. I'm like, no. I'm not busy. I'm productive. I will not receive the busy trap. I don't want it. I don't want anything to do with it. I want nothing to do with the word busy, because busy is something I don't want on me, because busy's a weight I don't want to carry. Busy is heavy. Busy is a trap. Busy is something that is exhausting. Busy makes me exhausted. I'm too busy. Ugh. Can't wait to get to retirement. Won't be busy anymore. Rob's retired. He's more productive than he's ever been. He has more time now. I can't get on Rob's calendar. So busy. Productive. Fruitful. Full of wisdom. Listen, when we have this perspective of we're going to be productive, not busy, we're not going under the yoke that Satan has and tries to keep us trapped. Listen, being busy leads to pride. And pride leads to a fall. And a fall leads to being out of your God-given purpose and being ineffective and unproductive and unfruitful. You know, there's a lot of things that keep us from walking in the time that God's given us in wisdom. You know, the average person spends 2.5 hours on social media every day. The average person. I know some above average people. Above average. The average person binge watches Netflix or other streaming services 4 hours a day. I know some above average people. We're at 6.5 hours now. So they're binge watching while they're... So technology, surfing the web, going on Amazon, having me time is the stuff that's robbing us from thinking that we don't have time. We don't have time. Listen, it is impossible to do everything God has called you to do if you don't get rid of that stuff. It's impossible to do everything God has called you to with the hours you have in the day. You can do it, but you can't do it if you don't get rid of that stuff. It's completely possible. He will give you everything that you need to complete what he's called you to do. That includes time. If we get rid of the stuff, let's look at an example of Jesus and his time. Jesus in Mark 1, 29 through 38. I'm going to read all the verses here. After Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, they went to Simon and Andrew's home. Now Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever, and they told Jesus about her right away. So he went to her bedside, took her hand, and helped her sit up, and then the fever left her, and she prepared a meal for them. That evening after sunset, many sick, demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus, and the whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out so many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. And later, Simon and the others went out to find him. And when they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." And Jesus replied, "We must go on to the other towns as well. And I will preach to them too. That is why I came." Jesus knew his purpose. He knew exactly why he came. He knew exactly what he came to do, and he knew exactly when he was going to do it, and he knew he was going to take a whole bunch of people with him to get it done. He knew his purpose, and he knew he was going to fulfill it. Listen, sometimes we say no to things because we haven't established our priorities in our life. What is a priority? And is the thing that we're being asked to do, does it fit into those priorities in our life? And are we looking for reasons to say yes, or are we looking for excuses to say no? I have to be really honest with you. I used to be somebody that looked for excuses to say no. I'm talking decades ago. Well, 15, 20 years ago. 18 years ago. I would look for reasons to say no, excuses. Because I just didn't want to do it. Like, this is my time. But then I got my priorities in order. And I started to prioritize my time. And then I got into recovery. I'm still in recovery to this day. Some of you perked up. You're like, oh, the pastor's in recovery? Yeah, I am. I'm a recovering people pleaser. I will be in recovery my whole life. I've made huge strides because I'm not a people pleaser anymore. And the Word of God freed me of that. Galatians 1:10. For I'm in this to serve Christ. I'm not a pleaser of people. If I were not in this to serve Christ and please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I need to read that every single day to be reminded that I'm in this to serve him, not people. So everything that I say yes to, is it to serve him? Is it to honor him? Is it to push his kingdom forward? Is it to fit into the priorities that he's given me for my life, for Rachel and I's lives, for the kingdom as a whole? I'm not trying to please you all. It's impossible. I lived there for years. And then I realized you can't make everybody happy. There are people in this room, it is cold for you right now. There are people in this room, it is comfortable for you right now. There are people in this room, it is extremely hot. Am I right? Three of you agree in some way. So you are the hot, cold, perfect. Okay? It was more involved during the first worship experience because we had to get it down to 65 degrees in here so that it would be comfortable for you all at this worship experience. So it's freezing during the first worship experience so that it'll be tolerable for you all. Isn't that sweet of them? They take it for you. There's literally women that bring socks to the first worship experience so that they can make it through. There's like teeth chattering because it's so cold in here. There's zero movement up here at all during both of them. There's no air movement up here. Look, there's no vents. So while you all are comfortable, it's hot up here. But it's not about pleasing us. It's about pleasing him. It's not our party. It's his. Worship. They didn't play the song I like today. Well, that's great. I'm happy to hear that because it wasn't for you. It was his party. Oh. They didn't play in a key that I could sing at. Well, that's great. It's about an overflow of your heart. And I don't know what key your heart sings in, but mine will sing in any key because I'm worshiping him. See what I'm saying? It's not about pleasing people. It's about pleasing him with everything that we're doing. We having fun yet? Here we go. A fresh start with our time. We need to practice intentional living. Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. Psalm 90, verse 12. That's the NLT translation. Let's read the ESV, which is on the screen behind me. Teach us to number our days so that we may get a heart of wisdom. You're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised the day after that. Let's leave it all on the field every single day. I want to drive this point home. I've had the honor, the privilege, the blessing of sitting with people and their families as they're nearing, like going to spend the rest of their eternity with Jesus. Not one of them said, I just pray I would have had more money. Oh, man, it would have been great if I just would have bought that house. Or I would have just got that car. I really wish I would have just got those shoes I wanted. It would have been really swell if I would have had that vacation. It was all about time. I wish I would have spent time more wisely with my kids or with my spouse or with my family or with my friends or with fill in the blank. A lot of people, it's about time. Now, I've had the blessing, the honor, or privilege to spend some time with some people that spent their days really wisely. And they got to see the investment that they made here on earth. And it was really cool to see that side of the coin. They knew the investment they made here on earth. They experienced heaven here on earth. They got a glimpse. Got them. He looked at you like, who's that? He got me. He was like, I had a good thing going here. He's like, he was quick. Sally Paladin, our lead pastor's mom, she invested in countless lives. She numbered her days wisely. Got to sit with her towards the end of her life, and she knew the investment she made, not only in my life, but in so many other lives. She knew. She knew the brevity of life. She knew that she spent her days wisely. And she was excited to go spend eternity with Jesus. She didn't say to me, I just prayed I would have spent more time in this way or this way or this way. She knew. She knew she was ready to hear the words, good and faithful servant. Well done. I want us all to hear those words. I don't want to have any regrets. I want to leave it all on the field. Listen, we sacrifice the most for what we value the most. What are you sacrificing for? What are you sacrificing your time for? Are you just giving up time so that you can work more or you can do this more, that more, or are you really pouring out your time for things that you truly value? It's a question that we all need to answer. Write it down. Make a plan. And remember, our greatest ability is our availability. And if we don't have any time to give, maybe we need to look at the tensions we're living in. Take an inventory of your last week and see, where am I spending time that I don't need to spend it? See what you can cut. See what you can plan more effectively and efficiently. Listen, a fresh start with our time requires us to live on purpose and to live intentionally and to devote our times fully to God. And I love when God makes things really simple. He gave us really clear marching orders. Matthew 6:33 couldn't be more clear. Tells us exactly what to do. Seek first the kingdom. seek first the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So I ask you today, are you fully seeking him? Or are you allowing for the tension of this world to keep you away from what you should have been seeking all along? You may be looking for things in all the wrong places, but he's telling you to seek him first, and all the other things will fall into place. All the other moments of life, all the other things just fall into place when you seek him first, you live righteously, and all the other things you need will fall into place. It just happens. But you need to seek him first. That's the first step. So you may be here today and you may, okay, I need to get my calendar in order. I need to take an inventory of my time. I need to really get my social media stuff in order. I need to really stop this Netflix thing that I got going on. But they did just drop this new documentary. I love documentaries. If I'm watching something, I want to learn something. Maybe you know what you need to focus on. But maybe you're here today and you know that you've never sought him. You've never received him. You've never been able to say that you have a day, a time, a place where you've received him as your Lord and Savior. Well, let today be your day, May 18th, 2025, in White Oak, PA. Let today be the day that you seek first the kingdom of God above all else, that you want to begin living righteously, that you want to begin following him, and you want to see everything else fall into place. Listen, if you don't have a day, a time, a place, and you want today to be that day, maybe I'm speaking to you right now. I'm going to ask you to do one of the bravest things you've ever done, but one of the best things you'll ever do. And that just slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. I don't have a day. I don't have a time. I don't have a place. Amen, brother. Amen, brother. Anyone else? So you need to forget your past, repent of your past, and accept him as the leader into your future. Receive forgiveness fully and what he did on the cross for you. Freedom is a beautiful way to spend your time. Father God, I thank you for freedom. I thank you for who you are and who we get to be, Lord. God, I thank you so much that you give us wisdom and knowledge to move forward. God, teach us all to how to number our days, Lord, and God, that we would be able to walk forward with just an understanding and an expectation for all that you have planned to do, both in and through us as individuals and us as a representation of your church, Lord. God, I thank you for the opportunities that we have to, first off, just serve you and serve those outside of these walls. May we schedule our time wisely to do so. Lord, I thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and we stand before you with great expectation for all that you have planned to do. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,